when I first heard about the quotas, I was appalled. You know, I got in law enforcement because I wanted to serve and protect, not be a bully.
You're way beyond encouraging productivity at this point. Now you're encouraging police officers to act unlawfully.
Auburn, Alabama is home to sprawling plains, the Auburn University Tigers, and a questionable police force. After the arrival of a new police chief in 2010, the department entered an era of ticket quotas, a common thread tying Auburn PD to other departments in Alabama and even nationwide. Air Force veteran and Auburn native Justin Hanners was a police officer on the force who felt compelled to speak out.
The role of police in society, I believe, are to interfere with the lives of the people as little as possible, but protect them from, you know, the 1% element that wants to victimize them. You know, let them be free to live their lives, but protect the people and the property. And that's what they pay us to do. When I first started in 2006, everything was great. Morale was high. The officers, we had cookouts together. We worked hard and, you know, we pushed each other to be our best and, you know, had great relationship with the public. But in 2010, things just immediately took a turn.
Auburn PD's new police chief, Chief Dawson, had new priorities and new marching orders, orders that the chain of command obeyed without objection. Justin recorded conversations between his sergeant, Sergeant Neal, and the other officers to keep tabs on any foul play.
He came in and, you know, they immediately started pushing for tickets.
Officers will have 100 contacts per month for minimum. 40 of those may be warnings for traffic. The other 60 will be divided between traffic citations, non-traffic citations, field interviews, and custodial arrests. Do not be the one that does not get 100.
That's 72,000 contacts a year in like a 50,000 person town. One thing Sergeant Neal did was the rod and the carrot method. You know, if you didn't get the number of tickets he wanted, if you didn't get the 100 contacts, you would get mandatory overtime. You know, you get written up. But if you did do well, the officer who wrote the most tickets and the one that came in second were given gift cards for like steak dinners and things like that.
Quotas pervert police priorities.
Bradley Balco is an investigative journalist for the Huffington Post and author of the new book, Rise of the Warrior Cop. He says that these quotas are an invitation to corruption and bad policing.
There's going to be a strong incentive for police officers maybe to find offenses where they didn't exist.
Sergeant Neal started instructing me and my partner to arrest people that we didn't feel like had broke the law.
Stay active at Saturday night. Make some contact, put my ass in jail, buy some tickets and all that neat fun stuff that we signed up to do when we signed up for this job.
It was one, I think it was maybe Friday or Saturday night, one of the big bar nights. We saw a guy walking on the sidewalk. He was staggering a little bit, but he was, you know, walking quietly to himself. He was on the sidewalk, wasn't stepping out in the street. We thought, well, it's clear he's been drinking. We'll at least contact him, make sure he's okay. So we get out on him, we contact him. He knows who he is, where he is, where he's going. We determined that he's good to go, we let him go. Well, our sergeant saw it and told us to go back and arrest him. He pointed to me and said, you need it for your stats. So I told him it's not about what I need, it's about what he needs, and he doesn't need to go to jail. So he got out of the car and you know, ordered us to arrest him, and I still refused, and my partner, you know, scared for his job, you know, went ahead and arrested the guy and took him to jail for public intoxication.
So you have a policy that encourages police to create petty crimes and to ignore serious crimes, and that's, I mean, that's clearly the very opposite of what we want police officers to be doing.
Justin repeatedly expressed his concern about the quotas and the way things are being handled to his entire chain of command. He followed up with a formal grievance process through the Director of Public Safety, but to no avail. The director said that these requirements were necessary for increasing productivity.
You have to question the leadership there if officers need to have that sort of incentive just to perform their jobs.
I think personally that it's revenue driven. At the same time that they're trying to raise property taxes, at the same time they're trying to raise sales taxes, they're pushing us to get more tickets. And they're telling us they don't want these little fix-it tickets. They tell us that they want, quote, meat tickets, something with a fine. They'll look over your traffic log, and if you've got a bunch of low fine or no fine tickets, they're going to tell you to switch and do more speeding, more red lights, more, you know, things like that. There's not that many speeders. There's not that many people running red lights to get those numbers. So what officers do is lower their standards.
When you're issuing citations, you're forcibly taking money from people, from citizens, and you're putting points on their driving records. I mean, you're inhibiting their freedom in a lot of ways.
These kind of policies, the ticket quotas and the heavy-handed enforcement, will affect the lower income populations the most. When you write somebody $200 or $300, $164 tickets in a month, they've got to make some choices that month. You know, that's groceries. You know, that's maybe food or clothes for kids. That might be, you know, car or house payment.
It wasn't long before Justin had to start worrying about his own finances after the department made it clear that if he continued to speak out, it would cost him his job.
During the grievance process, they try to squash it on technicality. You know, they try to talk me out of it, you know, try to buddy-buddy up with me to get it to drop it. Then they, once all else failed, they started threatening my job and my career and warned me that there'd be consequences for doing this. I had no intention of dropping. You know, at this point, I had no choice. I had to keep going forward, and if I stopped it, nothing would have changed. That just would have been another, you know, minor hiccup.
Justin was fired, and while the department declined Reason TV's request for information on the case, Justin says he was ultimately fired for violating a gag order.
Okay.
When they called me and fired me, you know, the first thing that went through my mind was my kids. You know, I'm the primary breadwinner. I don't know how the bills are going to get paid. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do as far as a new career. You know, all my eggs were in this law enforcement basket. You know, it's what my calling was. It's what I've always wanted to do.
Justin hasn't found a new job. He's currently looking for a lawyer to take up his case and sue the department. Though, after reaching out to the Police Benevolent Association for guidance, he found out that his grievances were actually pretty common.
They're like, basically, here we go with this again. It's a problem in more places than Auburn. This is a frequently occurring thing, and it's a battle with a lot of different officers and departments.
While Justin will continue his battle on the legal front, he thinks that the fastest way to get the city back on track is public accountability.
Once the people know, they can hold their elected officials accountable, and then it'll change. You know, officers have tried for years to change it from the inside, and they're either forced out or just leave from frustration. And what you end up with is a police department where the good officers have been run off, and you have a bunch of officers that are just willing to play the game, but they want to be the bullies. You know, they want to show how bad they are with the badge, and that's what you get left with.